Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Breakers, Tips got a straight and two in front. Hell Yeah Bolt is quickly after at the outside. And Hell Yeah Bolt, Hell Yeah Bolt sprints past them and Hell Yeah Bolt goes on to score.
Now on TAS Racing Talk, time to talk Greyhounds.
Hobart 1000 final night last Thursday night. What a wonderful night of greyhound racing it was, with the champion above all taking the prize on what was a night to remember for the Hobart Greyhound Racing Club. And of course, prior to that, they had the Hobart Greyhound Racing Club Tasmanian Hall of Fame dinner and the Hobart 1000 dinner. To tell us all about it, Greg Fay. How are you, Greg?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Shane.
Well, the dinner was a great night. Some wonderful people inducted. Another tremendous night for greyhound racing in the state.
Certainly was. Actually, it was almost a Northwest Coast domination in the Hall of Fame this year, with Gary Sutton. He needs no explanation. He's touched greyhound racing in just about every capacity, and was your forerunner as the caller at Devonport and other places. He was inducted along with Butch Deverell, who's only the second living trainer after Richard Stanford that's been inducted into the Hall of Fame. And again, Butch's exploits over 44 years with so many great dogs, including Big Moose, need no explanation. And then the two dogs were actually relatively recently raced, those being Big Moose and Chinatown Lad. So, yeah, it was a very good night had by all, and quality inductees.
Well, of course, that was Saturday a week ago now, and of course, the following Thursday was Hobart 1000 final night. What a race it turned out to be.
Certainly did. I think everyone realised that above all for Robert Britton was an extraordinary run the week before, coming from last. Don't think there was any shock that he won. The shock was that he led, because Box 5 didn't look to be any gift draw to him. And you had the Melbourne Cup winner in two, that was Dinah Villa, and Big Ticket in one, which had broken 11 seconds for the second split the week before. But in the final, they did not get close to him. He was in front, first dog out of the boxes, first dog home by 7 3/4 lengths. You've got to put that into perspective. He beat Ride the Rails and Dinah Villa, two of the best dogs in Australia, by 7 3/4 lengths, and took 12 hundredths off Paul Licking's track record from the Hobart 1000 the year before. I'm willing to bet that the record's not broken in next year's Hobart 1000.
It was an outstanding performance, wasn't it? Of course, you tipped it to us last week, $5.20. So our listeners out there, they'd be licking their lips over the price. But, that margin, he just kept getting further and further in front. It was an outstanding run.
Well, I think he could have settled third or fourth and still won comfortably. I think most people were probably thinking that he might have even settled further back than that. Just shows you what a great trainer Robert Britton is. He had the dog domiciled with Mick Stringer whilst he was in Tasmania, and he spoke highly of Mick's ability to prepare a dog, and that again needs no explanation. And that's the second time Robert Britton's won the Hobart 1000 in the last 4 years. So the way he spoke, he's happy to keep coming back.
Now, from a Tasmanian perspective, unfortunate for Connections of Hell Yeah Bolt that it was scratched from the big race.
Yeah, tragedy, really. It would have been his second Hobart 1000 in succession. At least he made the final 2 years in a row. Apparently, it's only a minor toe injury. It'll probably keep him out for a fortnight or so, but Anthony was quite confident that he'll be back and firing very soon.
And the other two Tasmanians, the greyhound that you bred with your brother Gary and race, of course, is Breaker's Tip, and the Robin and Gary Johnson runner, Senior Slammer.
Oh, look, they both ran really well. They just ran into a few dogs that were too good. I mean, to put the quality of Above All's run into perspective, Breaker's Tip ran 26.29, running 13 lengths behind the winner. He ran 26.37, winning his heat the previous week. So he improved 800s and got beaten 13 lengths.
Well, I made the big statement after Walk Hard won the Bob Brown Memorial, basically the consolation final of the 1000, at a time of 25.91 might be competitive in the final. It wouldn't have even been in the home straight.
No, he'd have been beaten about 6 1/2 lengths, and we know what a great dog Walk Hard is, and Walk Hard also led nearly all of the way, so that puts the run of Above All right into perspective. It's not as fast as the record-breaking run a couple of years ago by Zylia Allen at Launceston of 29.09, which is just bizarre. But I would hazard to say the 25.52, even though we get Group 1 dogs coming every year for Hobart, that record will stand for a little bit longer than 12 months.
Back in that Bob Brown Memorial, the runs of Bruni Venture and Eyes on Destruction, despite the fact they were beaten a long way, they were gallant performances.
Oh, they were. Terrific runs. I mean, Walk Hard was unbeatable once he led. Bruni Venture came out a little bit less than normal and received a bit of a clobber halfway, but he hit the line really well. Eyes on Destruction's just, you know, young dog also starting to earn her stripes, and look, both of them are going to win much better races.
Now, a little earlier in the night in the Billy Grice Memorial Stake, the best eight, Baines Lane, was another one who began brilliantly and led all the way.
Well, he did a bit of an above all, because Baines Lane also is a dog with high speed but usually not a very good beginner, and he came out of the same box, box five. He led every step of the way. The race was dead to rights 50 yards after the start, although Shanlon Vapor for Graham Moat put up a very, very gallant performance, only beaten a length and a half. Windburn Wizard, the favourite, sort of got onto the wrong leg early, gave way too big a start away, and he hit the line nicely enough. But I believe that's also the third year in a row that Brendan Purcell's won the Billy Grice Memorial, and I reckon he's pretty happy to do it.
Now, you mentioned Robert Britton's rap for Mick Stringer. Mick enjoyed a great night.
He certainly did. He had a treble in his own right and nearly even improved upon that, because he had a first starter in race two that ran third in Reddington, which showed very good speed. He won with Top Line Titan. It's hard to believe that was his first win, because he's quite a talent, but he's been a bit of a duffer early, but began a lot better on Thursday night, and he won well in 26.32. His stable Star, Underclass Hero, which has had terrible lot of bad luck since he won a race at Hobart in 25.74 about a year ago, or probably 8 months ago. He was quite strong to the line, beating Chinchiro in 26.15. And then Lakerville, which is also apt to do a lot of things wrong early, gave two really good dogs a start on the home turn in Silver Pierre and Riley's Rogue, and ran them down to win in 26.18. So, yeah, Mick's got some good times coming up too.
Now, Peter Phillips got the meeting off to a flying start with a first starter.
Regret Rien. And for those who don't know where that name came from, Edith Piaf, one of the all-time great singers in France, her famous song was Non Regret Rien. So two-thirds of that name is in that dog. A good beginner, ran 26.57. Not a bad effort on debut, and with habits like hers, you'd think she'd be winning a game pretty soon.
And Marta, well, it's been flying over the sprint journeys. It stepped up to the 4.61.
And she was pretty strong too, because she had to withstand a strong challenge from Roadhouse Lass, you know, all the way down the straight, held her off by a neck, and again, the 26.44 was more than adequate.
Posh Faith and Myrtle Richards, they put out a close finish over the 3.40.
Yeah, and either one would have given Anthony Bullock a winning race-to-race double. And to make a good thing of it, Anthony had first, second and third in that, with Posh Faith, Myrtle Richards and May Vista Falls. Posh Faith, that's a two winners in a row for her, and she's got very good habits as well.
And in race seven, the third leg of the quaddie, it was Calamac Baz beating Buckle Up, Omnon and Wee Fire. That form looks like it's going to hold up pretty well, with Wee Fire coming out and leading all the way at Devonport.
Certainly did. That was a little bit of an upset, I suppose, even though he only paid 4.40, because the two favourites, Schmickles and Revelation, were virtually last and second last all the way and didn't improve their spot. Calamac Baz looked gone halfway up the straight when Buckle Up Omnon, a noted strong finisher, challenged, but he kept finding to the line and beat him by a nose.
Well, it was a night to remember, and capped off a marvellous year of greyhound racing around the state for all three clubs: the Northwest Greyhound Racing Club, Launceston and Hobart Greyhound Racing Clubs. You've covered it brilliantly for us throughout the year, Greg. Have a great day tomorrow with the family, and we'll join you again next Wednesday.
Yep, and yeah, happy Christmas to all the greyhound people out there.
Two programs to look at this week on Taz Racing Talk as far as greyhound racing is concerned. Launceston on Monday night, Devonport on Tuesday, and the man that tipped his three specials last week and they all won. They were all in race 10. Rick Puccinelli, how are you, Rick?
Well, Shane.
Now, have we got any race 10 specials this week?
No, Shane, there's no race 10s. Very good week last week with race 10s, but we'll go different races this week.
Well, as long as they keep winning, we don't mind what races they're in. So Launceston race 5 kicks off the quaddie this week. Yeah, right, pretty impressive last week.
Shaney stopped the clock at 29.92. I know the quickest of the night was 29.59, but to break the 30-second barrier, it's a good effort. Ted Medhurst got him going very, very good at the moment. I can't oppose him. thought Windburn Charm was the main danger. I can just see this greyhound zooming across from box seven and settling up strong, and thought it had a chance. The big query runner, in my opinion, is number eight, Mighty Kev. Had eight starts for one win and three minor placings. Now, I went back and watched the Sandown run when it won it from box eight, and it zoomed down the outside, led a merry dance, got tired late, and still won, and recorded 30-23, and the best was 29-61. Look, he'll definitely have some chance, and he's got box eight, and he's got a railer in seven, so I put him in third, and he's a big watch. And three, Ruby Bailey. Didn't mind its maiden win in 30-22, winning and led and then was in second spot and then come again to win. And I didn't think its run at Devonport on Tuesday was too bad. 2, 7, 8, and 3.
In the second leg, we've got Demi Carly coming back from a surprise loss a couple of weeks back to a strong win at Devonport.
Shane, I still can't work out how she got beat the night she ran third to Tay's Intention. She must have just had an off night. She was very impressive last week. But I've actually gone with the kennel mate, number two, Mystic Falls. Now, hasn't raced since the 26th of May, done a Stewart's trial in Hobart in 26.49, had seven starts at Launceston, been placed on five of the seven occasions. I just think that it might be one of the leaders, and I just thought it had a chance first up for Ted. I put in one Classic Joel. Look, he was outclassed by Lily Set last week, but he's got the red box and he's got a good record from this draw. Seven, Demi Cowley. She's actually getting a bit wider in the draw, and that's why I put her in for third. And I thought a dog that was a trifecta hope was Rapidor, number three. 2, 1, 7, and 3.
In the third leg, Dark Vito's got the picket fence happening.
Shane, he's just gone to a different level, this dog. He's airborne at the moment. 29.60 last week, 29.59 was the best of the night. I thought he was a semi-risk if he was real short odds last week, but he was even money when they went in the boxes. He closed $1.90. He jumped in front, and he was super impressive. I know it's a rise in class for him, but look, you can't do much more than these two wins at Launceston in 29.75 and 29.60, and he's come up with box one. Thought my main danger was Gemstone Jack. He did me a little favour last week by winning. I thought he was pretty fair odds on the other totes. He only closed 460 on the Tats bet, but I thought he was good odds on the other tote. Eight, Mini Moguls, one of the likely leaders, got a chance. And the same can be said about number seven, Red Nitro. It's coming off a satisfactory trial in 26.58 in Hobart. So it's won two from five and has gone 30.06. Thought number one had win, but 5, 8, and 7 if you want to play some quinellas and trifectas.
And in the last leg, Black Sienna, another coming off a last start victory.
Yeah, it was a big night for Ted last week, and he just needed it for the Christmas cheer. I've got a tippet on top, Shane. I can't find a lot of depth in this race, and I just think for that reason she might spear straight to the lead and win. She's beginning very well of late. 6, What It Shrinks. Hasn't been beginning like it used to when it first came here in Tasmania. Anthony's got it a bit stronger, but it's probably lacking a little bit of box manners. But look, it's got to be clear second pick. Third pick, I put in number seven, Hunter's Hero. Now, look, there's a bit of a rap on this dog. He's got good speed. There's only one little trait that I don't like about him is that he can be a little bit tardy early. But he's certainly got a motor, and I put him in for third. And I put a dog in that will definitely be running home very, very strongly at the end of the race called Idle By, and it's come up with an inside draw. 5, 6, 7, and 2.
You've been known to be a little tardy early and then fire up late. Now, the quaddy for Launceston in the first leg, 2, 7, 8, 3. Second leg, 2, 1, 7, 3. Third leg, 1, 5, 8, 7. The last, 5, 6, 7, and 2. Let's keep those best bets rolling in. What have we got?
Shane, race one, number two, Posh Fire. I can't find any depth in race one. I just think that he might posse first or second. Very strong. He's in the kennel of AP Bullock and his team's on fire at the moment. I think he'll win. Race one, number two, Posh Fire.
Posh Fire, the best for Launceston. Devonport on Tuesday. First leg of the quaddy, race five.
Shane, I went with number seven, Brad Hill Billy. He's just been a little bit disappointing on the Launceston tracks, his two runs, but he's coming back to Devonport. He's got a PB there of 25.76. He's been placed 3 of 4. I just think he's the way to go. Regrettable Renee's second pick. Look, it's got good manners, desperately needs the fence. Just forget it's run at Launceston, I put it in for second. Two Carly Spells, been looking for an inside draw. Its last three runs has drawn 6, 7 and 7. This week it comes up with box 2. And then there's the big query runner, number 1, Immoral Dream. Look, R.L. Watts doesn't produce them unless they can run. It's come up with box 1. I might be totally wrong by marking it 4th pick. It might even be 1st pick, how good trainer he is. But you've got to play him in all your quaddies, your quinellas, your trifectas, the whole lot. And I don't know much about the dog, except that it's very well bred and it's got box 1. 7, 6, 2 and 1.
Second leg, the invitation race of the day. What a tremendous race this one is.
Shane, is there any chance you might be able to tell me what I'm going to tip in this race?
Oh, well, look, I noticed Senor Slammer was there. You've tipped it about 13 times. It's 1-12. Ran 7th in the Hobart 1000. Now I'm going to stick my neck out and say you're going 4 on top.
4 on top. I put in number 8, Wee Fire. Very impressive last week, recording 25.84. Found the lead. Was a runaway winner last week, beating Classic Nico. I put it in for 2nd. 5, that was then. I'll be looking for the fence and going good. And I also put in number 1, Helsinki, number 1. It's got a chance. It can be a little bit tardy early, but it's racing very well. 4, 8, 5 and 1.
Yeah, the third leg, I'm almost as confident to say you're going to go Bruni Venture.
Yeah, I think he's a class above these, Shane. He'll zoom down the outside. He'll be in front down by the back turn, and I think he'll win. I've actually liked him his last two runs in Hobart, and he's actually been a little bit tardy at box rise, but being out, drawn out wide, if he does happen to miss it just a tad, he can then zoom down the outside. 7 on top. I've actually put his kennel mate, Daniels Bay, in for 2nd. Thought it had some chance. 3, Bag of Spice. Didn't mind its running over the 580 at Devonport. Didn't shirk the issue when well beaten by Winburn Rush. Thought it had some chance. And 4, Classic Nico. Good form line through Wee Fire. I put it as a place out. 7, 2, 3 and 4.
Well, you've tipped Bruni Venture. Are you going to go with the litter mate Rip and Tear?
I've actually gone the other way. I went with number 6, Shane, in Truly Loyal. Look, 25.53 is absolutely flying around Devonport. It had box 6 when it done it. It's come up with box 6 this week. I think it's the way to go. It was very well tried at Launceston last week behind Dark Vito, 8 into about $4.90. And look, I just think that the run at Devonport just highlights the true ability that it's got. I put 6 on top, 5 Rip and Tear in for 2nd, 1 Bailey's Comet, and 4 Buckle Up Barney. 6, 5, 1 and 4.
That makes the quaddie for Devonport on Tuesday. 7, 6, 2 and 1 in the first leg. Second leg, 4, 8, 5 and 1. Third leg, 7, 2, 3 and 4. Last leg, 6, 5, 1 and 4. Let's finish the year off with a winner at Devonport's special of the day.
Race 4, number 4, Glenray Vision. Now, Peter Dalton's got a greyhound that's by Decembrist out of Zoe Bale. He was a little bit tardy out of the boxes last week. He showed enormous mid-race speed. Then he tracked wide going through the corner and he got beat by a dog called Hello AJ, and I've got a bit of time for that greyhound. I think this is an inferior field that he met last week. I think he'll probably settle 3rd or 4th off the mat, zoom down the back, find the lead, and be very strong and win. Race 4, number 4, Glenray Vision.
Okay, a few ticks there for your best of Devonport. Race 4, number 4. Thanks for all your help throughout the year, Rick. Enjoy Christmas Day. I'm sure you'll have a tremendous day with the family, and look forward to your company again next week.
Thanks, Shane.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.